Today, today is about 30 days, which means turtle. Very slow progress today. But we have our president sitting in here.
Hamotzi ben bimino ben bismolo betocheko o al kitefav chayav. Shekem asa b'nei kahat.
When it comes to hotza'ah, it doesn't matter whether you're using your right hand or your left hand to carry, whether you have something that's being held against your chest, or maybe it's on your shoulders, and you're carrying it up. After all, that's the way Masa B'nai Kahat was in the Mishkan itself, so that's the original carrying, it was carrying up on your shoulders. You could say, even though it's not... No, actually, it's interesting that Rashi brings the Yerushalmi, I mean, but Pashtus, it was the Bekot Evisot, which is the... because it doesn't say anything about anything else. However, he brings from Rav Haim, from Yerushalmi, a remez that they would carry everything, because it says, Kudas Elozer ben Aharon HaKohen, it lists the number of things. So it says, Mo'or Ketar Zasomi Mifas Atomik Shem Lamishra. So the Yerushalmi says, Echad Yemino, Echad Bismolo, Echad Lacheko. So we have each one. But the Pashtus, I mean, what's clearly in the Pasuk is the Al Ketefo, which is the one that's the biggest Chiddush. I mean, that's... strange way to get it. But Lamaisa, I mean, when it comes to other malachas, this wouldn't be so clear. It could be if you use your left hand for ketiva.
Kalachria.
That could be a kalachria. That actually is a machlokas. But we can't jump again from hotzah to other malachas or vice versa because of the unique situation with hotzah. On the other hand, if you carry kalachar yadonir, could mean literally. Lachar Yadon. There's not Kilachar Yadon meaning Barago Pipiba Marfiko, but rather Kilachar Yadon, you put something on the back of your hand and you carry it literally on the back of your hand. So we say he hit that backhanded. Sometimes you can hit it, but that's not the way you would go about it. Baraglo or Pipiba or Bimarpeko is a little bit of a machlokas. It has a lot of interesting issues attached to it. The long Tosfos over here discusses what the marpek is, because Rashi always says that the marpek is the elbow, elbow. And the Tosfos brings a lot of rias, even from the number of bones that are in the marpek, based on this story and the analysis in Oyalos. What is, how many bones are there in the body, and so on and so forth. But the marpek couldn't mean that, it must be the underarm.
The marpek, the ankle too, somewhere?
It's kineged, the same thing in the irregular. Yeah, exactly, that was that's exactly his assumption. So. The truth is, it doesn't really make much of an afternoon on aloha. Is he carrying something on your elbow, or are you carrying something under your arms? Both of them are kilaka, yeah, I don't know. But as no, we had the case of the, you know, carrying your slide rule behind your ears, b'saro, b'pundato, you can carry it in your money belt. Now that would be normal, except that you put your belt on upside down. Pim lamata, certainly it wouldn't be such a great idea to have your bills facing down. Well, you could say, but I mean, there's pressure that holds them in. It's not as if they're going to just fall right out. Nonetheless, that's not... the normal way of doing it. Even though you could say, I don't want people to see a bill sticking out, I don't want them to know it's a money belt or so on, but it's still considered to be kilakriyat in terms of the shmir on it. We'll see that it's a machlokas later.
What if you carry a bottle upside down?
Huh?
If you carry a bottle upside
down? Ben pundatola chaluko. Or you want to carry it between the belt and your pants. Or bisvat chaluko, you want to hide some dollars in your... well, nobody hides dollars anymore. You want to hide some euros in your cuff, you know. Or b'minalo, b'sandalo, for that matter, carrying around your cash in your shoes. In all of these cases, potter, shlohotzi, kederach hamotzi, it's not the norm to be motzi in this fashion. Omer Rabbi Elazar, hamotzi...
one of them was the peppercorn amount, that means...
Oh, Tosef asks that. Here it says, if you carry in your mouth, you would be potter. And there it says, Oichlin would be chayiv. So Tosef says, it ain't ochinami. Motzi b'piv means other than Oichlin. Because, of course, Oichlin, what better way to take out Oichlin in your mouth? The derech of Oichlin is in your mouth.
Then it would be
chayiv. Sorry?
Smugglers don't use all these systems.
Yes, but that's the whole point. The reason they use these systems is so that nobody should think that they're carrying anything. So that's your right? That it must be, that's not the Derech HaBeitzah? Omer Rabbi Elazar, HaMotzi Ma'aser L'malam Yasarat Tefachim Chayav. Even though we said before, if you're Zorek, and you're Zorek something through Asarat Tefachim, L'malam Yasarat Tefachim, since it isn't traversing a Rishus of Chiyav, it goes through a Makom Ptur, it would be Potter. You would think that the same thing would be true if you're carrying something L'malam Yasarat Tefachim. And in fact, if you carry something amalam yasarat tefachim, you would be chayav. Why? Shekein masa b'nei kahat. When b'nei kahat carried, what they were carrying was l'malam yasarat tefachim. How do we know this? You say the masa b'nei kahat. Minolan, how do you know that's true? Well, first of all, take a look. The pasuk compares the carrying of the mizbeach to the carrying of the Mishkan. Because when it lists the various things they have to carry, Kaleya Chatzer, Masach Pesach HaChatzer, Asher Al HaMishkan V'Al HaMizbeach Saviv. So in other words, we're comparing the carrying of the things Al HaMishkan V'Al HaMizbeach. But what does that imply? From here we learn, this is a big sugya that we've discussed at great length elsewhere, in Kartshim and so on, how high was the Mizbeach real? There's a lot of contradictions, because what it refers to in the Torah specifically could be just a part of the Mizbeach in which the burning takes place. So, because it comes out that if the Mizbeach is 10 Amos, and the Kaloyim had to be 15 Amos, yet it says 5 Amos, but that 5 Amos means from the top of the Mizbeach, it says 3 Amos, and 3 Amos means the Mokum of the actual Mizbeach above the Soveh without the Kronos. It's a big sugya, but here the basis of the idea that the Mizbeach's measurement, of course in Yecheskel also we found the same thing, what is the measurement of the Ariel, from what point, the measurement of the Mizbeach are always hidden into its components, even to the extent of breaking up the top into four equal parts and so on in Yecheskel. So the marker of the idea that what's written is not so parshut is this Hekesh. Since it's Makesh Mizbeach LeMishkan, that tells us that we know the Mishkan is Eser Amos, that's a given, because the Orach HaKeresh is Eser Amos. The Krushin, of course, was standing up, so it had to be 10 Amos high. But here, if it's comparing the terms of carrying, you're going to have the same problems carrying the Mishkan. The Mizbeach is carrying the Mishkan because both of them are the same height. In other words, you told me, Ap Mizbeach Eser Amos. How do we know the Mishkan is Eser Amos? Mishkan Gufim, you know, it says Eser Amos Orach HaKeresh. Now, it also says, once the Kroshim were standing, Vayifrosu Ta'oral Al HaMishkan. Now, who did this? This was Moshe. We're discussing what Moshe did on the day when he completed it. He did this every day. He was making the Mishkan during the Shemini Yom HaMilui. So he was making the Mishkan, and he took down the Mishkan, and every day, next day, he put it up, took it down, and so until the eighth day, and then he gave it over to Aaron and so on. But he did everything that needed to be done on that day. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu got up, and he spread out the Oral Al HaMishkan, which is maddening to think about, because at first, besides weighing 100 tons, I mean, it was so high. So I mean, he would have to lift it up, put it over the other side, and so on. And so it was impossible for an individual to do it. Yes, it's Blosh in Yochid. By Yifros. So it's referring to Moshe. Mikana Talomed Govan Shalavim. From here you see how high the Levium must have been. Because, I mean, Moshe's, we're assuming that the Levium were like Moshe. Moshe was obviously 10 Amos high in order to be able to do this. So he would look down on the Mishkan, so to speak, and would spread the thing over the way you make a bed.
That's 6 meters high.
10 Amos? Well, no, not quite. I mean, it depends which Shita. Not Chazanish.
6 centimeters.
A minimum of 15 feet high.
This is for basketball.
Yeah, he would have made a great basketball.
It doesn't make sense because it says
at
Ogre Habashan his bed was 9.
Oh, but that's, it says Ba'amos Ish. The Gemara says which Ish? His.
In
his own Amos. His own Amos are bigger. The reason it would have to say Ba'amos Ish, so then what's it saying? The reason it has to say that is because of a tremendous problem in the analysis of all of these giant cases. Because the problem is that the scaffolding, the skeletal scaffolding that you'll need to support the weight, since the weight is going to end up being the cube of the person's height, assuming that he maintains the same, you're going to need a skeleton. It will be absurdly gross and overgrown. He's not going to be able to move. So that physically this is not really possible. When he talks about the Amos Ish, that's what I say. In other words, it has to be proportional to his Amos, but that changes the whole thing.
Did you say that Moshe was 10 Amos earlier?
Sorry?
Did you say that Moshe was 10 Amos earlier?
Yeah, when he was jumped up to get
old. He had to get a 10 Amos pole,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Hit him in the ankle.
Yeah, yeah, right. My brother Kiveger talks about it. I better look at that sugya. There's a lot of issues between the two sugyas of this. Talk about lifting his hands all the way up also. That's the shadow. Are we including lifting his hands? Are we including... Because this is the whole question. We know that the normal makom of an Adam is four amas, which doesn't make any sense. So it's because if you hold your hands up above your head, you could be four amas.
Okay,
all right, but in any event, I mean, this we showed him talk out there. According to the whole Shuvah, the Ramesh about this, that because this old kasha, but if he was 10 amas high, so how could he have done the avodah in the Mishkan? And also, he wouldn't have been covered by the kelayim. All kinds of problems, technical problems. This Ramesh said that in other words. The whole thing anyway is an illusion. It's the way you see him, or the way he's able to function. It's all, but there's amazing. It's not that he was really 10 on the side. So the name was, what's the problem? He was doing in the Avodah, it was a different illusion. It's meant to be taken as a physical expression, the way Moshe Rabbeinu walked around all the time, you know, and had to be careful not to step on the babies. So. Okay, but anyway, so you learn here that the Levium are 10 Amasai. Now, let's assume that the Levium are really 10 Amasai. Okay. Now, if that's the case, if they're going to be carrying this Mizbeach, which is 10 Amasai, how high above the ground is the Mizbeach going to be? Well, okay, the bottom of the Mizbeach going to be. That's the thing. Gemiri, now we have a Kabbalah, the Kotura de Midla de Motot. Whenever you're carrying something on Motot, how do you say Motot in English?
Poles.
There's not a special word for carrying pole?
Staves?
Is it? Okay, not much. I mean, stave definitely is about, I don't know when you use. It could be it is stave. Okay, but anyway, when you're carrying something on a moat and it's balanced, you have two thirds of it on the bottom, one third of it's above. So the center of gravity is kept low. So in all of these cases where we're carrying, the Torah doesn't define precisely where to put in the brichim. That's how it was made. Was made to be two thirds beneath and one third above. So kilta mila el, betre kilta mila tata. Now, if that's the case, the bottom of the mizbeach carried on the shoulders of a 10 amos high person, where it only had six and some amos underneath, is way above the ground. So when they were walking, basically, they could pass over people under the mizbeach as they're walking. So obviously it was above 10 tefachim. Okay, so there you go. So you see that the carrying above 10 tefachim is certainly not something that's going to pop to you. Zrik is one thing, carrying is another thing. Well, you know what? If you don't go for this jazz about the levium being all that high and so on, let's talk about normal size levium.
Asker Hakdahabi.
Midlay Tova? It was very high. Midlay, hanging there, hanging way up
high.
All right. V-Boys Ema, if you don't go for the height of the Levium, so let's take normal height Levium, okay? Forget a Mizbeach that's 10 amas high, fine. I can't carry a Mizbeach 10 amas high if I'm only a 3 amas high guy. All right. But I'm carrying the Oren. Okay, the Oren. Okay, how high is the Oren? Well, the Oren is 10 tefachim. The Omamar. Aron Tisha, the Kapor is Tefach, Harekan Asara. So you have Obisacha called Tentvach. Now, a normal person being 3 Amos high, which is the how we measure all of the measurements for people, for the mikveh and so on and so forth. So such a person would be 18 Tvachim high. Because it's 6 Tvachim per Amos. If he's 3 Amos high, 16 Tvachim. He's carrying something which is 10 tefachim, of which two-thirds is going to extend beneath him. So now, it turns out, since Gemir de Kotura de Midli Bemotot is tilta mili el, vetre tilta mili ra, you have one-third above you and two-thirds beneath you. So then that means you've got 6 2/3 tefachim hanging down, right? Out of the 10 tefachim of the total height of the Mizbeach, and you're 18 tefachim high, it's still above 10 tefachim. because that's only a total of 16 point whatever tefachim. You would have to be 18 tefachim. Mm-hmm. So that means that the distance from your shoulder height to the bottom of the mizbeach still leaves you 10 tefachim to the ground. Because these measurements, if you include the head of a person and his neck, we add another amah. V'horaya, when it comes to burial, a kuch, a normal kuch, is 4 amas, including head, neck, and the thickness of the orin that is necessary in a kuch. So when we measure 3, we measure 3 from the shoulders. Tosus asks, how do you expect a guy to get into a mikveh then? The measurement of a mikveh, the way we get our boim sar is by assuming that we need kol besara, you have to put into the mikveh one time, that's 3 amas. Tosus says, never heard of Archimedes. You go into the mikveh, the water rises, it covers your head. But in a tsunami, you only need the 3 amas for your body. Okay, but meanwhile we see that it's not a lot above 10 tefachim, but it's a tefach above 10 tefachim. So apparently, even though you're carrying above the ground more than 10 tefachim, you would be chayav. You stuck at the lamala me'asarahavi, even assuming that the levim are normal height or our height. Wait, I mean, what's your objection? I mean, why don't we say, well, if Moshe was this tall, why can't the levim be this tall? Ligmar mi Moshe. Moshe obviously is a unique case. I mean, come on. And Yom Amar, Ina Shechina Shora, El Al Chacham, Gibor, V'Yashir, Baal Koma. Now, obviously, these things don't mean literally that you have to be physically a Baal Koma, or you have to be physically a Gibor, and so on. As the Rambam says, it means Gibor, but Midotav, a person who is a Baal Koma in the sense that he's Choshev and his bearing and so on. But nonetheless, I mean, the fact that it should be expressed totally, even in physical terms, in Moshe, makes a lot of sense. He's the ultimate. So if we find him being able to project an image of a massive basketball player and so on, I mean, that's understandable. That doesn't mean we should look at every Levi to be another Moshe. There's a wonderful Chuvas on Rashba. It's so gewaldic to see the rationality, you know, the clear rationality of Rishonim and the way that they dealt with him. Apparently what happened was, he writes like this, he writes that somebody, a very reliable person, was made, that there's this guy in the city who got up one morning and he was mamish spouting nevias, and a malach came to him, and this malach writes out hundreds of pages of data, chokhmah, every single day. I mean, this guy's got now a Harry Potter parchment, which is meters and meters long, and he sent the Rashba, a copy of a couple of prokim, and he should see what incredible chokhmah is coming out of this guy, and this guy's just a regular Joe, and it can't possibly be that it's coming from him, because it's nuts, and so on. And anyway, so he brings the whole story, and then, so the Rashba says, okay, so I'm expected to believe that this guy went to bed one night, as a regular Joe, wakes up the next morning, and now he's a Navi, and he says, look, I'll tell you one thing. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Nevias is somebody, that's a Chochom, a Gibor, he shared it on his Midas, he was spending his whole life becoming a Navi, now he wakes up one morning, and we find that there was a Nevias to that. To Lot, to this one, he says, yeah, we also find there was a Nevias to Bilam's ass. I mean, that doesn't mean he is a Navi. It means that there's something happens, that's from Alam and Ateva. But this guy is sitting here for months being a Navi, and it's nobody ever heard of such thing in all of human history. So therefore, it's going to take me a very long time for me to believe this kind of garbage, he says. But I'm not denying the phenomenon. You're all kinds of crazy phenomena. He brings a bunch of stories of, various psychic phenomena that he's been out. People that said what were going to happen, or people that came up with these refuas, or little children that barely knew how to talk that are composing poetry. Exactly. Hey, Mamish, he brings from different countries. He says, this mice I heard in Ashkenaz, this mice I heard in India, this mice. He says, and they're from very reliable people, and so on. He says, I have no idea that the human mind is capable of all sorts of wild things. So obviously, each brain is different. You can have idiot savants, all kinds of things going on. I'm not a psychologist. I can't tell you exactly how it works and so on. I can tell you that it would be a good idea to have a massive scientific conference. He says, Sanche Mano, he says, they should have a scientific conference and be ma'ayan in this thing and do a lot of research and find out how it works and why it works, but it sure ain't no loving, that I'm going to tell you. And so, Mamela, we, B'nai Yisrael, we have our Messiah, and so on and so forth. Psychic phenomena are simply not an issue to us. I don't care, whatever it is, it is. Part of nature and so on, which we simply don't understand. And but it has no implications whatsoever in terms of Amunah, in terms of Chochmah, in terms of this. It's just so refreshing, you know. You're talking about at a time when the level of people's hispilas from these, you know, what appeared to be supernatural issues was so great. They hear just, you know, it's simple. You know, that's not what's happening. Something is happening with the man's imagination, the power of the brain to do all kinds of strange things, but it's not a Navi. It's the same Maisa, I guess you're referring to the kid today in the Juilliard school. That Maisa you're talking about?
A few years ago there was a...
Yeah, okay, so all the time. I mean, the latest is, I mean, what makes it more normal is the kids actually in Juilliard. So it's like one of these South American jungle stories. But there's actually a kid in Juilliard who, from the time he was born, has been hearing symphonies in his brain, sometimes three or four at a time, right? And he simply sits and he writes down what he hears. They said it's absolutely brilliant compositions. No training, that's nothing. From the time he could pick up a pencil, he figured out how to make notations on music. And he's been writing these incredible things, they say that. And they said that the people there, just this is the kind of thing you hear about, you know, once in a few centuries, there's a musical genius like a Mozart and so on and so forth. That's another one of those cases. And he's pushing,
huh? It's a true story.
Yeah. It's Mamish now. This is it. And they said, this kid is pushing, going around, and the problem is he can't stop. How did he end up in Juilliard? He's a little kid. Because he told his parents he's going to die if they send him to school. He said, I'm going to die.
If
you send me to a school, I'm going to die. And they, you know, it was clear to them. So they had an interview with the mother. They said, you know, what's a parent going to do? I mean, a child clearly is telling you he can't live like this. We have no choice. We send him to Juilliard. So that's all that he does. He's hearing simultaneously, you know, mommy, he's like different channels in his brain at the same time, like all types of symphonies and so on. What are you going to do? Okay, so therefore, what does this mean? That he's a Mashiach. It means that he has a tremendous character in this particular area.
His antennas are very high.
Over 10.
What's that?
It's about the talking fish.
Okay, that wasn't what the Rambam was referring to.
Okay, it's a good thing. They went to the visions of Rambam about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He said, we've heard a long time. We haven't heard about stuff for a long time.
All right. So we now know that the masa of Bnei Kohath could be even where the bottom is the malam yasar, in the middle, the whole thing that you're carrying is above asarat tvach, and nonetheless you would be chayav. Omer Rav Mishum Rav Chiya, how about if you carry something on your head? So you're carrying something on your shoulder, it's fine. We learn that from the masa of Bnei Kohath. I suggest if you carry something on your hand on Shabbos, you'd also be chayav chatos. Shekein anshei hutzal oisin kein. Anshei hutzal, they carry, like we see the Arabs carrying over, they put a barrel or a bottle on their head and they walk down the street. Ask the Gemara, who cares about anshei hutzal? Does anshei hutzal define norms? What, anshei hutzal or Ruba the Alma? Maybe they're all out of their minds. I mean, so you're telling me we have people from Hutzel. Nusa what? Okay, that's true. All right, so then let's refine this. What I mean that anybody, anywhere who carries something on their head would be fine. What I mean is, if someone who comes from Hutzel carries a bottle on his head on Shabbos, he would be chayav, because in Hutzel, this is normal. She came in a year or sin came. Ask the Gemara, so? That doesn't make them less crazy. I mean, there are still norms. So therefore, what? Tibatel da'atamek, so kol adam. Why don't we just cancel Anshei Hutzel, even though they're a whole place? I mean, how do we know to make a place chosher? Why? Who cares about that place? Overall in the world, 90% of humanity does not carry things on their heads. So therefore, even if you were carrying chutzah, you should be potter. Aliyit marachiyit mar. Rather, what should have been said by Rabbi over here is amotzi masri arosho is potter. I don't know, so I'll get into it, because he said, Ayo, ask me, v'imtim tzoloimar anshe huzo. Botlodaitan, he's a koladan. The Tosis points out that we have a little bit of a problem, because this Gemara is assuming that the din of bitul das could apply even to a group of people, to a culture. Yet we see when it comes to other things, that's definitely not true. So let's say, when it comes to kotsi, right? So we said, in Arabia, they're Makayim kotsim for their camels. Okay, but not for us. I mean, so why aren't we mabatel it? So Tosis says a very simple yesod. Something that is culturally specific, but not because of the culture, but because of the circumstances. In other words, if you were in a desert and your culture used camels for conveyances, you would also be using kotzin to feed your camels, right? So Mamela, that's not called Batel Daitan. That's the only place where it was no gear, that's all. Now Shame King, where everybody has an opportunity to carry around wine. When was the last time you brought your wine to the table on your head? So in that case, it's not you don't look at the culturally specific issue as being culturally verified. It's just strange. So you can have a strange cultural activity that indeed is called batladite. I don't see any reason for it particularly. So why should I accept it as a norm?
Pushing women, they're carrying things on their heads for miles and miles,
like a walker. Yeah, you see it here. You see some of the irons.
Big baskets and barrels. Cushy lifts up a 200-pound bag, puts it on his head, and walks.
Wait. Think about this point over here. Yeah. It could well be that if you're talking about a masa that cannot be lifted any other way, but then we wouldn't say batel daitan. For exactly the same reason that we wouldn't say, in other words, we would say batel daitan clearly to anybody if we saw a guy taking a bottle of soda, putting it on his head and carrying it down, even if it was an Arab. So say, they carry. They carry when it's something that makes sense to carry on a head. It's heavy or whatever. I mean, this is a joke. They're entertaining us. They're walking around in front of the Kosher Kala with a bottle on the head. But that doesn't have anything to do with the way you normally would act on the street. It is possible in a finami that there you wouldn't say Kotlataisa. I mean, if I have a capability, I'm a Sabal, and I have a capability of carrying as a sabal a refrigerator, but only b'tznai that it's balanced on my head and my, and I'm going to say that that's not the derech chutzah. In other words, because that type of thing is carried in that way. We had the same question earlier, like I'd be the carpenter. The norm would be to carry, you know, your pencil behind your ear as an advertisement of your, you know, your ruler behind your ear, or your lavlo. You want to carry your pencil behind your ear, your an engineer for hire, so you want to carry your slide rule behind your ears, advertisements. There's a shayla, maybe that is considered to be derech chutzah that we saw earlier in the Masechta. Again, I'm not sure that anshe chutzah, the bitul anshe chutzah, would mean that the kushit that's carrying a 200-pound mass on the head that they would never be able to lift. I don't think that's a kasha necessarily. You see some of these feats, they seem to be supernatural with these... You know, these guys who pick up the piano and pick up the 30 cubic foot refrigerators on their back and they're walking around. It's an amazing thing to see.
An Arab very like piano.
Yeah.
And it was a big piano.
One?
One.
Oh, yeah. You never see this in the States. Never. Never. They've got all of these machines. All right, so let's try that again, even though, of course, we have to just reset all our watches. Now my watch is a half an hour off from my house, but all right, go ahead. Give us
a...
Hamitkaven lahotzi lefanav. A guy intended to carry something in a, we wanted his camera to be coming down across his shoulder in front of him. So he'd keep an eye on it. And as he was walking, it flipped around to the back where every pickpocketer would be able to take out his lenses. And he's not happy with that. So he's potter, because it wasn't niskayem machshavto. He wanted to have a good shmir on the thing. He ended up, if he would have realized it, he would have been upset. On the other hand, if his intent was originally to carry la'achorav, and it was balo lefanav, so then he would be chayav. And this is a little bit complicated, because, I mean, so, and if his intent originally was that it should be la'achorav and should stay la'achorav, then that's not clear. That eino derech hotzah, because he's not comfortable with the fact that people can unzip his backpack or bring more. How exactly does that work? This is the Gemara is going to talk about. Be'emet amru. And it's absolutely clear halacha that everybody's agreed on. You remember we discussed this be'emet amru, this mishamis is halacha of a shvi'i sinai. But many of them before she say it doesn't mean literally halacha. It means it's a dover chazak u'boru ki'ilu. It's halacha of a shvi'i sinai. But ha'isha ha'chogeret b'sinar. If a woman is wearing a slip actually slips. That's the point of a slip. It's there for tzniut, but it can certainly revolve. Sometimes to revolve with the movement of the body. You know, so you're always saying your slip is showing, or a woman's always adjusting her slips. The front should be one way, the back. So over there, since that's the norm, if she could connect something to the sinar, so she wants to carry $100 bill for emergency, she puts her sinar over there, she knows that's going to be flipping around her as she walks. So then, the point of a slip is to allow it to slip. And therefore, that's considered to be the derech. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mekablei ptakim. Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing is true when it comes to mekablei ptakim. Now, Rashi says, I could tell you the pshat that I was told, but I got to tell you, it's, my heart's not in it. But, I mean, I was told that this refers to government employees who are supposed to be handing out notices and so on to government employees. And their job is handing out notices. And they, oftentimes, a notice that has one guy's name on it, it's the same notice, they print thousands of them, they'll give them to another guy. It doesn't really matter because it's the same notice. So that type of thing is considered to be, he gave it to one person, you don't say it's not miskayem machshavto. That is miskayem machshavto. It's accepted that you just sort of, you're loose about this, but I don't like it. I just don't like this pshat. Tosis says it means very partial. It does mean someone who is employed by the government to hand out notices, or in our terms, maybe a mailman. And they walk around with these big mail sacks. And the derech of a mail sack is that it goes sometimes to the back, and sometimes in front, and people leave them alone. After all, it's a federal offense, and so on and so forth. So that's considered to be a norm. In which case, it starts, that's perfect, because in Rabbi Yehuda is simply giving an example of a slip on a man. The same idea, where this is the way in which you normally carry. My shnalafanavu balo la'achrab depatur. Ask the Gemara, what's the yisod of this Mishnah? That if it's not nitkayem machshavto, in other words, if I wanted to have it in front of me, and it went in back of me, so you're telling me, well, then you're potter, delois avid machshavto. Because after all, malachas macheves means it has to be what your plan was. That was what was mikuyam. So if my plan was the opposite, why is that good? I don't get it. So then if you have now, I wanted my backpack to be on my back, and it slips around, and now it's facing forward. So I have a fanny pack. I was carrying it on my back, now it's on the front. So you say the same thing. That was not my intent. So I'm not going to be chayav, because malachim has to be my intent. You'll say you don't like my intent. That's your problem, okay? But this was my intent. So I wanted it on the back, now it's in the front. Why am I chayav here? On the other case, I'm flattered. This doesn't make any sense. Rav Elazar, yeah, you know, you got a good point there. I mean, Tavra, what we'll have to say is that the Mishnah is broken up into two conflicting opinions. And indeed, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, must reflect the Svara of two different Tanoim as to whether it's considered to be a Miskayim Machshavto where something is, or whether that's irrelevant to the Hotzah. Amar Rava, what are you guys talking about? My Kusha, am I missing something over here? I don't even understand the problem. Isn't there a difference, an objective difference, between Achorav and Lefanav? I mean, we accepted it as an objective difference all along to where you're carrying, how you're carrying. If you're carrying something Lefanav, then you're doing a better job of Shmirah. If you're carrying something Lachorav, you're doing a worse job of Shmirah. Something that you really care about, you don't put on your back to let other people in the subway zip open your backpack and take out your passport. So why is that such a pillar? If you had something that you intended to have in front and you were going to be shemrit with a better shmira, and it went in the back, so then that's definitely a pagam in your machshava. On the other hand, if you were willing to have something in the back and it ended up in the front, that certainly subsumes your machshava in the back, because you were able to do an even better shmira. So it's a more valuable hotzah, and that's not a contradiction to having in the back. We're not saying itavida machshavte on inconsequential issues. We're not going to say, I intended to have it on my back where it was going to be underneath my tzitzis behind my shirt, and I ended up putting it in. Now it turns out my tzitzis were caught in. So, what's that have to do with the hotzah? Obviously, it's inconsequential. So we're analyzing, in other words, things that make a difference to the hotzah. No. So then the Mishnah suggests its own solution. If you carry something behind you, it makes a difference, but it's to the negative, not to the positive. If I'm carrying it in front of me, the difference that it makes is that it's now better. So I should be putter, because lo yisavi bachshavte, I was willing to accept less, and I got more. What's wrong with that? The more always includes the less. So therefore, I don't even understand what your question is. What you're making, taking a Mishnah, breaking it up into two tanoim for a question, it's not even a question. So my kushya, dimul fanavu balolachrav hainu time at a potter, the nitkaven lishmira mu'ula, valtabi ado shmira pchuta. Mashenkein lacharab, ubalol fanav, why are you chayav? Because your kavana was ready to accept afilo shmira pchuta. And you had siyata vishmaya, and in the end, accidentally, altabi ado shmira mu'ula. That's a good thing, little do you know. Who was waiting behind you to get that camera? So therefore, you're fine. So what was the kasha? No, the truth is there was a kasha. We got a little mixed up over here. The kasha wasn't the way we originally said it. I mean, yes, rather makes a lot of sense, but there's still a kasha. The kasha is not what the Mishnah says, but what it doesn't say. Because if you analyze the Mishnah, you see that it's contradicting itself. Because it starts off like, well, look, it's the diyuk of the Messies, and that's difficult. Let's read the Mishnah. What does that imply? That the reason that I'm potter is because I intended X, and I got Y, which is less than X. So, but what if I intended Y in the first place, and I got Y, it should be okay? So if my intention was to have a backpack on my back, and it stayed on my back, so I should be chayav. So in other words, halach rabu bal halach rabu be chayav. Okay, very nice. Now take a look at the next piece of the Mishnah. I'm a sefer. If my intent was that it should be behind me, and it moves around to in front of me, then I'm chayav. Oh, now here the implication is, but if you were willing to accept the shmirah pchuta behind you, you would not have been chayav, because that's not the derech hotzah. People don't put things behind them to get pickpocketed. So the Mishnah's contradiction itself. Holy acharavu, bololei acharavu would be potter. It was on that Rebbe Elazar had said, tavra mishu shanazu lo shanazu. Not on, of course Rebbe is right about the words of the Mishnah, but the implications of the Mishnah are problematic. Says Rav Ashi, well, you know what? It's a wonderful thing that we've been through this together, because you now understand the mistake that we originally made. Are we totally crazy? We made a mistake, but we're not crazy. I mean, Rome explained to us, okay, but it's the better includes the less. But did we not have a Hava Mina that maybe the better doesn't include the less? and that there's no difference between wanting something in front and going to the back, and wanting something in back and coming to the front. That's what we thought until Rabbi set it straight. So maybe that's the Pshat of Mishnah. The Mishnah, you don't be medayek only because it came forward. That's not the point. Say, even though it became forward, and you might have said, but you intended for it to be in the back, and now it came forward, Kamash Malan, it's a better, includes the West. Because maybe that's the whole point of the Mishnah. It's good for the Talmud, what Rabbi was saying. But it certainly doesn't mean to imply. But if it was Is'avid Makshavti the way that you wanted it, then that would not have been good. For sure that would have been good. Why make a contradiction between the Sefer and the Reisha? If you accept that there's some value in telling me this Kiddush, and obviously there is, because otherwise we just wasted 5 minutes discussing something that was stupid. So it must be it wasn't stupid. So therefore, so I'm a Ravashi. So then I understand. Now there's no problem. Because now your first interpretation answers the problem in the second interpretation. It's my question. Maybe the point of which is saying not only. In other words, you've established that if it was in the back and it stayed in the back, it would be chayev. Not only that case is chayev, but even as lomi boilach rav boilach rav the chayev. We'll then say, why are you chayev? Ditavida makshavti. This is what I wanted. This is what I got. Melechus makshavet. But you might have thought that if it wouldn't have been like that, you'd be poser. No. I feel like Rabbi Balafanav, even if it was not the way I wanted it, and I got it in front when I intended it in back, still I'm chayev, and it's strictly, and you need to know that you're chayev, because Sarkatai Ramina, I would have thought, look, bottom line is, same way you asked me a minute ago, that if your makshava wasn't done, so then maybe you should be lola chayev. Kamash malan, therefore, do for the Kiddush of the Mishnah is what Rabbi said. That since what's consequential for the Hotzah is the level of the Shmirah of the Hotzah, so why should it be a problem? On the contrary, you got more than you expected, even better. And that's included in Malachas Mark Shabbos. It doesn't have to be in exactly the way you wanted it. Who cares? You wanted it, certainly willing to accept that things should be even better than you want. Okay, so now we have a good chat in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara,
I'm not concerned about some stealing tissues. I don't need a debit card to carry tissues. I'm going to have to carry it in my front pocket. I carry it in my back pocket.
You mean the other way. You meant to carry your bag. That we've already agreed. The Mishnah says that's definitely not good, because that's a consequential urethra in the Shemira.
I don't care about Shemira. It's not an important thing that I'm carrying. No, it's still my tissues.
Nonetheless, in terms of the overall derech of Hotzah, the idea of carrying includes carrying in a way that is the most effective way for me to be metapil in this object. People in the object include Shmira. Shmira doesn't literally mean from pickpocketers. It means my ability to care for it. Right? Shmira simply means protect. And we say, keep your city clean in Hebrew. You say, shmor yerchad naki.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean watch it from pickpocketers. No, that's the idea of Shmira. It's just in the general sense of caring for something. This is better care, higher level care, just to have it in front of you. So, maybe the Shaila over here of whether La'achorav is Bechlal considered to be a valid Hotzah, maybe it's really a improperly done Hotzah. It's not the best way to carry an object. Maybe that's good for Machlokas, because the truth is, you read the Mishnah, it's a little bit, it's kind of out of the fun of a Bolo La'achorav. I mean, it's not, you know, when you read that second thing, La'achorav, a Bolo La'achorav, certainly your first grasp of the Mishnah is that it's saying La'achorav is no good. That's because it was Bolo La'achorav. In other words, what Ravashi was saying, it's not my intuitive grasp of the Mishnah. You know, if you tell somebody to read this Mishnah, say, okay, what does the Mishnah hold about just carrying something behind you? You'd think it was that it would be proper, you know, because you don't make the diak as much as you hear the second part. Is it possible that there's actually a machlokas tanoim about whether carrying something behind you, even where it was Itavida Machafte, whether that's called Derachotzar or that's the same as carrying a Kalahakriya. Because take a look at this piece over here. There's a Brisa. Brisa's like this. The Tanya Hamotzi Ma'ot Bukundato Piala Mala Chayav. Now, obviously, you have a money belt, and you carry money in your money belt on Shabbos. That's the derek of Hotzah money, isn't it? A money belt, so you'd be fine. Piala Mata, but how about if the belt is upside down? You don't want people to know you're carrying money, okay? So you stuff it underneath the belt. It's not going to fall out because the belt's tight against you, but still. So Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev, even though the belt is upside down. And the Chachamim Pat. Now, so far, this doesn't have anything to do with us, but listen to the conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So Amarlan Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachamim, Yatem Modim Bila Acharavu Balo La Acharav Shu Chayav. Do you not agree that if somebody would carry something in his fanny pack behind him, and it stayed there, that he would be chayav? So why is this any different? You're saying, you're such an idiot. You put your money in your fanny pack and then you put it behind you. You didn't understand you were going to pickpocket it. But say the same thing to me. The guy is wearing the belt upside down. So you're such an idiot. Didn't you think that it's going to be easier to fall out? Yeah, but you know how many times I've done this? I've done this a million times, never fell out before. So when it falls out, you're calling me such an idiot. Okay, but if it hadn't fallen out, all of a sudden I wouldn't have been such an idiot. So good. So don't call me such an idiot. So why is this any different than the case of carrying something behind me? And generally speaking, it's okay. So they answer Rabbi Yehuda. And what about you, Rabbi Yehuda? You're not made that if you carry something, kilacha yad or lacha regel, you're not, or on your foot rather, that you would be potter. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, I mean, each one of us said something, okay? There's no clear-cut way that doesn't demand a judgment call in my being able to answer their point or their being able to answer my point. In other words, there's obviously a spectrum here of derech hatzah, kelach hayad as the extremes, okay? And then there's areas here in the middle, and that this is what our problem is. So I'm comparing it to one thing, they're comparing it to another thing, basically. Yeah.
I think we don't take into consideration the weight of the object. Because, I mean,
maybe we do. Who says we don't? Maybe we do.
We know that a big hand.
Fine, so we don't. So who's to say we don't? As the Gemara often says, Hokanami, Basil Metek Akadera. I mean, that. You know, yeah, obviously, whatever is necessary to input, remember, it's Torah Shabbat Peh. I mean, we're only talking about some very gross descriptions here. We're not getting into the details. You want to look into the details, you have the all of the Shulchan Aruch, then you have all the Shilas of Tshuvas, all the Noisei Kalim. I mean, there's 10 trillion possible details. We just had one, as our president pointed out. As Ramonti pointed out, what do you mean? We said before, if you have peppercorn in your mouth, so Tosh says, okay, obviously he's not referring to peppercorns. I mean, good, so it's true in all cases. Now, from the language over here, because Rabbi Yehuda says, I said one thing, they said another thing. It's mashma over here that they're when he said, Iatem modim, he didn't mean that they're really modim. But in other words, he's saying, look, you guys, you should say that that's the case. In other words, I'm saying that you're chayev on achorav u'balol achorav. And undoubtedly, you guys are going to argue on that also. Your judgment is warped. And that's what he meant by, look, I'm saying one thing, they're saying another thing. I mean, we're talking past each other, okay? That's what he's saying. So is it the mashma'ut, is that the rabbanim don't agree with his anacha? So that really is a machlokus of whether you're chayev achorav u'balol achorav. Or whether you're pater. So Lama called the pater Rabbana. Says the Gemara, what's the matter with you? If you think that that's the meaning of the conversation, so then you could say the same thing is meant by when they said to him, aren't you moda that kilakriyad your pater? That what? Rabbi Yehuda is not moda? That he holds kilakriyad is chayav? Is there anybody who holds kilakriyad is chayav? Do we ever see such a chita? So what are you going to say? The time after the Kamri life, they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, iya tamodes. What are you going to say? The Rabbi Yehuda holds that kilachi yad yachayev. It's beferish a brisa, which is v'atanya layachri yoda v'rago tirei hakol pater. Rabbi Yehuda itself is made it that you would be pater on kilachi yad. Therefore, forget about it. La'acharav u'bala la'acharav, everybody agrees you would be chayev. Liyachar yad and regal, everybody agrees you would be pater. The point that Rabbi Yehuda is making is that there's a spectrum here. And you have to determine where this is on the spectrum. So ki pligi bepundato pialamata mar medami leilachrav balachrav umar medami le liyachar yad avarag. Or if I told you anything, the melech alam shakunim. So it's according to the Chachamim, an upside-down belt is considered to be kilachar yad, and according to Yehuda, an upside-down belt is considered to be carelessness. And carelessness is included. It's not considered to be a violation of the nature of the melachas itzah. Be'emet amru isha tana kol be'emet is halacha l'maisa. Rabbi Yehuda omer af mekablik takim. Why? She can love l'varei ha-malchutosin, because that's the derech of people that are writing notices for the malchus. Is what Tosva says, that their packs should go back and forth, and they're not marked.
It could be that people are more careful not to seal
them. Yeah, that's what we're saying. It's a federal offense. See that? You give him one opportunity and that's it. He's taken over.
Is this meant only on the sinar of the woman?
No, as you're saying, the same idea would be in anybody who would carry in a way that is similar to a sinar. Yeah, it's what Tosis explains, and Rashi admits that he doesn't like the pshat that he had anyway, so stick with Tosis's pshat. Hamotzi kikar l'rashut harabim. Now, you got over here a challah. Okay, we're going to carry out the challah to Rosh Hashanah. Problem is, I don't want you to carry the challah to Rosh Hashanah, because I notice every time you carry, you get the best piece. You see. So I'll carry it with you. So we carry it together. You know, this can happen to your kids all the time when they're bringing the cake to the table. You know, all of a sudden, everybody wants to be the one that's carrying it. All right, we'll carry it together. Now, that's a strange way to carry a challah. I mean, you could see two adults sitting there holding on to the challah. I don't care how big the challah is. It's a little bit weird. And you would be on your own, obviously chayav. But if you've got two people, otzi yushnayim, it would be potter. But lo yachol echad lo otzi. How about if this is the Guinness Book of World Records challah? So now one person can't hold this challah. So you need two people to carry it. So if that's the case, in that case you would be fired, and even in that case Rabbi Shimon Patras. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav, some say it was Abaye who said it, and some say actually it was even a Brais or a Maslisa Tana. The rule is like this: if you have two people doing something where either one could have done it independently, nonetheless Rabbi Meir holds your chayav, which is not like our mission. What does it mean? Our mission is not like Rabbi Meir. Early to come and early to go makes a man.
Actually, why
does Rabbi Shimon? We'll see. It's dependent actually on how they learn the pasuk. So Rabbi Meir is Machayev, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are potrim. So that would mean that our Mishnah obviously can't be Rabbi Shimon because he's chaylik on the end of the Mishnah, but our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yehuda. Ze'eino yachol ve'ze'eino yachol. If neither of them could have lifted it independently and they do it together, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are mechayvim in that case, and Rabbi Shimon still says you're pater, because Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah. How about if one of the people is strong and he could do it on his own, and the other one couldn't have done it on his own? In that case, that's not clear who's chayav. They're both chayavis. Which one is chayav? The Gemara will discuss. Taninami hochi. And there's another brisa also. It says hamotzi ki kalu shut rabim chayav. And this brisa is actually makes it clear, because it's going on our mission, it's using the same format of our mission about a kikar, makes it clear indeed that there's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the case in the Mishnah. So it says, somebody carries out a kikar l'rishus harabim, chayav, hotziyu shnayim, and here the Braisa inserts in the lashon of our Mishnah exactly what we just saw. That according to Rabbi Meir, you would still be chayav if hotziyu shnayim. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo yachol achad lo tziyo vo tziyo shnayim chayav, but if not, p'turim. So that's our Mishnah, exactly. We see from here that the Mishnah was simply a reflection of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and the Braisa went to speak out that you should know that there's a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, potters even this case of Zeyachov, still part. We know on Emile, what is this all based on? The Tana Rabbanan we had way back in the beginning of the Masechta, we had this analysis of this possible. So here it's talking about the Chiyuvim, it's not talking about particularly Shabbos, it's talking about the Chiyuvim Vayikra Vakorma. And for some reason it says over there, Be'asota, Nefesh, Be'asota, Asota. Is it, specifically it. Achas, we call mitzvos. What does that mean? We've darshed this pasuk for many issues here throughout this Pesach Talagavi, the Chiyuvim of Chatos. So first of all, ba'asota means you got to do the whole thing. Asota kula, you got to do the whole thing. V'lo ha'oset miktzata. You can't be chayav if you're doing only part of a thing. Now, the truth is, to do only part of a thing could mean a lot of things. Because let's take, for example, a malacha that has in it a shir. Let's say ketiva has a shir of two otiyot. I write one, you write the other. Could mean that. You can't do a half of a malacha. How about when it comes to hotzah, where you have two completely different parts of a malacha? Akira and Hanok. Could mean that. Not where one does Akira and one does Hanukkah, because then nobody did anything. I mean, at least in the case of the writing the oath, we all did it, we just didn't do enough of it, so we could put it together. But to do half of a Hotzah, like the case in the opening Mishnah, now that I understand. I mean, there nobody did the Malacha at all. She told me you can't be Mitzarek, two people, to do a Malacha, they're doing different. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And then we have the most extreme case to apply this pasuk to, which is the case we just applied it to, which is weird. Why would we apply it to a case where we're both doing the whole malacha with a whole shear, but we're doing it together when we didn't need the help of the other guy? That's a stretch, you know. But even there you would be put. But for some reason that's what the Gemara's assume. Yeah? That's what it means. So you don't do the whole thing. What do you mean? I did the whole thing. I did an akira of a challah, and I walked out to Rishon Rabin, and I did enough of the challah. Yeah, but you didn't do the whole thing on your own. It doesn't say that. It says do the whole thing. But the whole thing means the responsibility for everything that was done. All right, maybe. But that's what the Gemara is saying is the meaning of the pasuk. So is this kular? But how is this mixed? For instance, Kesa. Shnayim shariol chazim be'mazleg, we would say in modern Hebrew. This, of course, is referring to a pitchfork, not a simple fork, pitchfork. So two people are holding a pitchfork, and they're stacking up the tefuah, which is an isser of ma'amir, and they do this together. And they're logzin, or lozgin in modern Hebrew. Or they're holding a karkar, which is the stick that you use to straighten out the threads in the ariga, right? And they're both shoftim, they're banging on the threads to keep them straight as the shuttles fly. Or two people are holding a pen. They're holding the kumas, and they're right together. Or two people are holding a kana. I mean, how heavy could a kana be if it's a reed? You might think in any of these cases, we have two people doing the entire malacha. Talmud lamar ba'asota, ha'oset kula, v'lo ha'oset miktzata. On the other hand, if you have two people who are holding an eagle, shel dveila, now, Oh, an ego shel tefillah is heavy, man, because they would pack a barrel full. This thing weighed 70, 80 pounds. I mean, so I have two people carrying it. Or are they holding a korah? It's a long, heavy, and uncomfortable to carry on your own thing, a korah. So they carried it together, they're just arabic. Now there you have a different issue. There Rabbi Yehuda says, well, im lo yachol achad lo tziyo vo tziyu shnayim, then ein achinam b'chayavim, which of course is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. It's not clear where he gets this from, in terms of the pasuk. He's just saying it's out of svar or whatever. We have to see where what they're arguing in the pasuk. And there, you would be chayiv im lav lemais, if they could have carried out on their own, then of course this would be included in the original case of Rabbi Plucker. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, on the contrary, that's the whole point of the pasuk, that even though one person couldn't have achieved this on his own, and he used the other person to help him achieve it, that's the meaning of the pasuk that says ba'asota yachid she'asa achayav shnayim she'asa'u piturim. So now we have basically a further extension of the pasuk into yet a fourth most unlikely scenario. Again, the three dargas are where we have someone who bichlal, neither of whom do the malacha. One does the akira, one does the anocha. That's the most reasonable thing to exclude. Then we have, they both do the malacha because the two osios were needed. Each one did the whole malacha, but a chatzishir. So would the chatzishir be mitzvah between two people? That's a more reasonable use of the pasuk. Then we have now, we have our case. I mean, it's not more reasonable than the other case, but it's reasonable compared to what we're saying. Then we have where everybody does the whole malacha, and there's no problem with chatzishir. They just happen to do it together. All right, sort of iffy. Then the question is whether to apply it even in a case where the malacha can be done and only be done with two people, and therefore that's the primary way to do it, and they do it together in its primary way. Even that kind of Rabbi Shimon is not included. All right, so we're going to have to see, obviously we're going to need to expand this pasuk, because one miut could not possibly have been memayat all those four cases. So we're going to see tomorrow that in fact the drasha on this pasuk includes multiple miyutim. And the question is, which are more likely to be the reference of the pasuk? But I think that once I notice telephone dials instead of eyes, I always think it's wise to stop. Okay. It's to our chazor.
Would they compare it to the question that one lady could carry a car?
I made him give us that in English when we bought it.
Yeah.
That is so hard.
Mishnah. Sadi Prince. Hamotzi bein bimi no bein mismolo betochiko ketefav chayav shekein masa b'nei kahat kilach b'yado b'raglo b'piv v'mar b'ko v'ozno b'saro b'pundato v'pio l'mata bein pundato l'chaluko b'sfat chaluko b'minalo b'sandalo patur shlo hotzi k'derech hamotzi Omer Rabbi Elazar hamotzi ma'asi l'mala mi'asor t'vachim chayav shekein masa b'nei kahat masa b'nei kahat b'inala t'chtiv ala mishkan v'ala mizbeach saviv makish mizbeach l'mishkan Ma mishkan es ramot af mizbeach es ramot mishkan gufe minolam tekhtiv es ramot orach hakor shekhtiv ayifros et orah ala mishkan yom rabbi moshe vam rav meshe rabbeinu pirsho mikan atalomei kovan shelevim es ramos v'gemiri tachol tun in the middle of your motto tiltum in the yaw betray tiltum in the tacha yishtak atav imid leituv way above us are talking or even if it's normal height he bites even me oran yom ama oran tisha mirik tfachim Vikaporatef, Achrekan Asrat Fahi, who gemiri the photon in the middle of the motto, tiltum in the yaw, betray tiltum in the ra. And a normal human height is 18 tfahi. Ishtak, the lamala, mi asar abikoi. The ligmar mi Moshe. Now, because Moshe understand him, Moshe shangi, Mamar, Enashina, Shirail al Chacham, Gibor, Ashir, Balkuma. Omar Rabbi Shum Rabbi Fia, Hamotzim, Masui, Bishabat, Arosho, Chayaf Chatat, Shikain Anche, Hutzalo Singe, Anche, Hutzalo. Cares, Rubidi Alma. Elite Mahi, Mahamarab, Shumabithia. Echad, you may who saw, Shotzim asui al rosho v'shabat chayav shekein b'nei yiro asin kein. So who cares? Tibatel da'at ha'metzah kol adam. Elid mar hafi yitma. Hamotzi masui al rosho patur. And if you'll ask me, what about Anshe Yitzel asin kein? I'll tell you. Batel da'at ha'metzah kol adam. Hamitkaven lozi levanav ubalo la'acharav patur. La'acharav ubalo lefanav chayav. Be'emet amru. האישה החוגר בסינר, בין מלפניה ובין מלאחריה, חייבת. שכן ראוי להיות חוזר. רבי ירון אומר, שתם דגוד בתשובות בקבלי פתקים. מה יש לפניו ובולו על אחריו בפטור? זה לא הייתה במחשבתו, so if that's the case, לאחריו ובולו לפנמי, לא הייתה במחשבתו. וואו, אמר רבי אלעזר, this is a major. Well, I have to say tava. מי שם זה לא שם זה, אמר רבי, what do you mean? It's not even a problem, I could show. דומה, לפניו ובולו על אחריו, אני נתיים את הפטור. ונתכוון לשמירה מולה ואל תביא ידו שמירה פחותה מה שאין כן לאחריו וגולו לפניו הנדאי מדחייב ונתכוון לשמירה פחותה ואל תביא ידו שמירה מולה אלא מי קושה obviously not that דיוק קדמת ניתה קשה המתכוון להוציא לפניו וגולו לאחריו פטור הולה אחריו וגולו לאחריו ובחייב אין בסיפה לאחריו וגולו לפניו הודה חייב משמע לאחריו ובוא לאחריו הוא דיפטר. On the basis of that, said רב אלעזר תברא, מי ששנה זה לא שנה זה. אמר רב אשי, that's also not a problem, my question. דאמר לא מבואי כמה, לא מבואי לאחריו ובוא לא לאחריו תחייב. דתעביד המחשבתו, אלא אפילו לאחריו ובוא לא לפניו, there, and it's צריך עליו, הצגת לך מן ההוא ולא יסעבי מחשבתו. So לא לחייב, same way we thought a minute ago. Exactly the way Rava said to Chayim. Now, lema lach Rava bolo lach Rav Tanoim. The time. Hamotzi ma'od pepunato piel amala chayav. But how about piel amata? Rabbi Yehuda mechayev hachamim potrim. Amalem Rabbi Yehuda. Yatem odim lach Rava bolo lach Rav shu chayav. Omru lo. Viyatem odek lach yad baragu shu patur. אמר רבי יהודה, אני אמרתי דבר אחד, ואין אמרו דבר אחד, אני לא מצאתי תשובה לדבריהם, הם לא מצאו תשובה לדבריי. Now, מרקו אמר לו, הוא, אי אתם מודים, isn't that משמע, the patcher rabbonim? Oh yeah, sure, אבל אתה אם אתה גם מלאי, אי אתה מודה, so in other words, you're going to tell me, רבי יהודה, זה מחייב על אחר יד, ואתה אני לא יחר, יודה ורק לא דברי הכל פות. אלא ליחריו, ובולה ליחריו, is a given, my friends. Running out of battery. So Divyako, some Vatani Liak Yadavarag, Divyako Potter. Liako, Bolo Yako, Divyako, Chai. Liako Yadavarag, Divyako Pot. He blew gave a punato, Pielamat, Mar, Madame Lilakrab, Bolo Yakrab, Madame Mar, Madame Lilakra Yadavarako. Benet Amro, Ishako Gerpis, Narvatana. כל באמת הלכאי, רבי יהודה אומר, אף מקבלי פתקים, טענה שכן לב למראה מלכות הסינקין. המוציא כי קלו שותר במחייה, בת, הוציאו שניים פטורים, לא יכול אחד להוציאו והוציאו שניים חייבים, ובשביל פותר, even in that case. אומר רבי יהודה אומר, אמר לו מראה בייר, סמסים במתנית הטענה, זה יכול וזה יכול, רבי מאיר מחייב, רבי יהודה ורבי שמעון פוטר. זה אינו יכול וזה אינו יכול, רבי יהודה ורבי מאיר מחייב. רבי שמעון פוטר. זה יכול וזה אינו יכול, דבר הכל חייב. נתניה מיוחי. המוציא כי קל לרשות הרבים חייב, הוציאו שניים, רבי מאיר מחייב, רבי יהודה אומר, אם לא יכול אחד להוציאו, הוציאו שניים חייבים, ואם לאו פטורים. ורבי שמעון פוטר. מנה נגבילים. דתנא רבנן, נפש בעשותה, העושה את כולה ולא עושה את מקצת הכיצד, שניים שהיו אוחזים ממזלם ולא עוזקים. Or bekikar, beshoftim, or bekumus, bekotvim, or bekone, or tzilushet rabim. So yoko yuchayabim, tamud omar basulta, haoset kula, vlo ose mikzata. Be igushot veilavo, tzilushet rabim, or bekoravo, tzilushet rabim. So rebuta omrim lo yoko lachad lo tziovat yushnaim chayabim. Vim lach peturim. Rebbe Shimon omer, apa pish lo yoko lachad lo tziovat yushnaim. There's still Peturim, because that's why the Torah says Vasanta. Yachid Shasa Chayav, Shraim Shasa'u Peturim.